Hey, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, joined today by my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help the AACC equip the church to provide Christian mental health care and resources to those in need, and even to help us provide training to those ready to step into a people-helping role, just go to aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift helps keep this program and your station on the air as we expand our ministry to train others to have effective mental health ministries. Hey, we'd love for you to be a part of our family as we continue sharing messages of help, hope, and healing with today's generations. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a wonderful guest joining us now, so let's get started. You're about to hear my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, answer some important questions concerning our kids and their mental health, as asked by our ministry friend, Patty Garibay from American Heritage Girls. This was taken from Patty's popular podcast titled Raising Godly Girls. We wanted to present it to you here on our channel because the conversation was extremely thoughtful and incredibly valuable. I thought that the questions were spot on, and my dad's answers provided excellent clinical insight and some fundamental values that, quite honestly, have undergirded our family and my relationship with him across all these years. In my opinion, I may be biased, I think you're going to love it. So let's go ahead and go there now.
You know, you spoke about passion, and I often lead off my podcast with talking about the fire in one's belly, or that passion that made you even want to pursue marriage and family counseling. What was that sort of that aha moment for you?
You know, Patty, when you I grew up in a home. I don't know if you know this. I have five sisters.
Oh, my word. That's enough to lead. Enough said. Huh?
I had a very strong mother, a matriarch in our family. My dad was a pastor, a rural kind of circuit riding pastor in the hills of central Pennsylvania. Patty, when you have eight kids in your family, people don't often invite you over for potluck ring because you're going to wipe everything out. But Patty, grew up in a wonderful, very close, loving family. My dad, the kindest man I've ever met in my whole life. And he had a real love for the Lord, prayed for us every day. You know, my dad's gone, but I miss those phone calls late in life when he would call just to say, hey, how are you? And he'd say, hey, can we pray together? It would never end a conversation with you. I don't care if you went out to McDonald's together without saying, hey, can we pray together? But Patty, when you have a family that you feel anchored in, it's everything. And so you begin to realize when you look at it, modern day culture, what they're doing is they're ripping the foundation out from underneath the family, the fabric of society. And so goes the family, so goes the church, so goes culture, you know that. And by the way, so goes the church, so goes the family. And so we've got to do everything we can to maintain as much stability as we can. And so, yeah, I want to be a champion for strong relationships. It starts with strong marriages and strong families where kids, little hands and hearts are fashioned in those homes. Unfortunately, Patty, we know this. A lot of kids are broken. They're growing up in a lot of brokenness. And boy, does that impact their everyday life.
So many people start ministries because they've had traumatic childhoods or they want something better for the next generation. You had a wonderful childhood and you wanted to maintain that for the rest and share it. That's a beautiful reason. Absolutely.
Yeah, what a gift.
I love that. It is a gift. Let's dive in. We've got a lot to talk about. It could be a little heavy, but we know that there's hope in our sovereign Lord, and that's the key. To me, in my work, it seems that there's a profound connection between the identity crisis among today's girls and the mental health epidemic. What do you agree with that, Tim? What are your thoughts around that?
Oh, I really believe it. You opened up with some of the statistics from the CDC that are not just concerning, they're sobering. It's horrible. We don't have a mental health crisis. We have a mental health disaster going on. And when you look even deeper, I was reading this morning, just as I was thinking about you and kind of where we were going, only 11% of high school girls say they're happy. And what they lack is they lack confidence, so they wind up not speaking up. They feel stressed. They're not sure of who they are and where they're going in life. I saw another piece that said 75% of girls with low self-esteem engage in negative activities like cutting, bullying, smoking, drinking, disordered eating. And hey, Patty, when I think of kids, I think of my granddaughters, Olivia and Sophia. I mean, childhood ought to be about laughing and playing, riding bikes, and having ice cream cones. But when you hear stories about, well, hey, by the way, laughing and smiling. Yeah, they say on an average, kids smile like 300 to 400 times a week. I mean, it's just amazing to me that that's the way things should be. But there's nothing that I'm seeing more than profound sorrow and brokenness in the eyes of girls everywhere. They need hooks. And when you look at the correlation, for example, too, of social media and mental health, the more time that girls spend up on social media, the more negatively it impacts their mental health. What, some 65% of girls said they want to change something about themselves because of spending all this time on online and seeing maybe what they're not or what everybody else says they should be. And it's horrible. And when you begin to base your self-worth, your identity on what you do and what others think of you, you know, it's bankrupt. You're on a dead-end street, and it's going to crash around you so fast. And Patty, here's the deal. It's happening. When you hear 30% of our daughters and our granddaughters seriously contemplated suicide in 2021, according to the CDC, that's not a problem. That's a real major disaster. And God help us to give attention to it the way we need to. The church needs to take serious what's happening with the next generation.
This isn't just a warning. This is a fire alarm. This is a raging fire going on that has to be quenched. And you know, the question around this is what it seems like there's a lot of extraction of goodness from mental health right now being sucked out between the social media and all the things that you just mentioned. What is the antidote to put back in? What should be replacing this sort of a debit and credit kind of mentality in that it's all been taken away and I feel like I'm nothing and I have no influence? What can be put back in?
I think it goes back to a sense of belongingness, connectedness, rootedness. If I feel like I'm seen, for example, you know, when my kids were growing up, Patty, Megan and Zach, Dad, hey, do you see me? Do you see me? Hey, catch me. You know that? And the constant,
watch me. Yeah.
Yeah. They were looking for that attention piece and mm-hmm. that you mattered to them. I did a reel recently on the first thing you should be doing when you're coming through the door, is giving 100% of your attention to them. Imagine growing up and coming to the door and being ignored. And when you come through the door and you jump on your phone, you know, give more attention to the dog than you do to your own kids. Now just think about, I remember a lady telling me she remembers the very moment she stopped going to the door. She stopped going to the door because she didn't know if she was going to get loved or smacked or what have you. And so what she did is she began to withdraw. And by the way, that's a very dangerous, difficult place to be. And yet our kids are growing up in those kind of situations, often because moms and dads are preoccupied, they're too busy, or by the way, they're lost in their own world. And there's a lot of pain and pressure going on in everybody's world. But when you're growing up as a kid and your hearts and hands are fashioned by those around you who are supposed to be there for you, it's everything to them.
Going to the door, what a visual. Whew, it takes my breath away.
Patty, I remember when my son Zach taught me one of the greatest lessons of my life. He was a little guy. He was just learning to put words together. And I was busy working way too much. And I came home one night and I came in through the garage door. And that bundle of energy was coming 100 mile an hour for me. And he stops dead in his tracks. Boom. Stopped. He looked at me, looked down at my shoes, looked back up at me, looked back down at my shoes. And he said, "Shoes off." And I knew what that meant. He knew that if I took my shoes off, Dad was staying home. And I tell you what, Patty, it was like not very much a couple of days after that. I'm home by myself. And I was outside, and it was in the fall season, and there were leaves out in the yard. And I remember as a boy growing up, we had these big maple trees in our yard as kids in our pastor's home, and we used to rake them and pile them up. I mean, we try to get them 8-10 feet high and get up in maple trees and jump into the leaves.
But right.
So we had this pile of leaves outside, and I laid down in the leaves, and I asked my Tim, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And that was a moment. It was a watershed moment for me, because in that moment before God, I said, "God, I'm staying home. I'm not going to beat the road. I'm not going to go out there and travel all over the place and try to speak and become the next quote influencer, as they call them today. no, I'm shutting it down. I'm going to raise my kids. Patty, I'm going to tell you what, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And boy, does the research begin to back it all up.
You know, it's easy for us to blame exterior motives such as social media or a crazy culture. But bottom line, you're saying it starts in the home. It starts with the parents. It starts with them making the sacrifice of knowing their kids need to come first, that their own selfish desires, isn't this always it? The sin of autonomy, our selfishness always gets in our way to doing the best stuff that the Lord wants us to do. So I love that you realize that. And my husband had the same kind of aha moment. And I believe it's very common for men in their best efforts trying to be a breadwinner and doing the right thing that they miss the big thing, right?
Being connected, being present. If you look at all of the strategies out there, mental health strategies to step into the lives of kids, I think the very first thing they all say is somehow we've got to get connected with our kids. And they're trying to get mom and dad connected with their kids. They're trying to, quote, get mentors or Sunday school teachers or youth pastors connected with these kids because they're isolated, they're alone, they're lost in the vicissitudes of their own mind. Our minds can be a very free, beautiful, safe place, or they can become a very dark, turbulent place. And I get concerned when kids are locking themselves away in their rooms. They're trying to do life by themselves, all alone. Patty, they don't have the capacity to do that. And so when you begin to realize that you do matter, and a lot of people would say, well, wait, I've got a 13, 14-year-old girl. They don't want to be with me. No. They really do. If you understand it, they really, really do. How do we step in is a whole nother conversation. But being present, being connected, that relationship piece is at the heart of every strategy to help our kids have success in life. You've got
Amen.
We need that piece. We've got to have it.
You know, I remember as a young teen, preteen, crying my little heart out and just wishing my mom, because my dad was disabled and couldn't do it, but that my mom would just break through my door and give me a hug. And instead, she just left me alone. And that's the worst thing, because everybody wants to be seen and loved. That is such a difficult thing. You know, what I find so amazing about what American Heritage Girls and Trail Life offers is this sense of belonging.
Yes.
This band of sisters and brothers, because the loneliness epidemic is real that's confronting our girls. And yes, you're right. They're all alone and they're so sad. They need each other.
It's interesting. When you look at the research on it, what it does is it increases optimism. It decreases stress and anxiety. No wonder kids then search for tribes, for gangs. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because they need some sense of connectedness. If they're not connected at home, and they've lost their core friend group, or by the way, and you know that drives them crazy when they're struggling with their friends, they need a landing place. They need a safe place where they feel like somebody's got their back, that they're there for them. Oh, by the way, that they're loved.
It should be intentional, that choice, because if we allow it to happen, particularly if our kids are in the public school system, there's going to be a mentor there that you may not wish was the mentor.
Hey, life,
speaking into your
and then think of all the, go back to the old movie, Mean Girls. Just think about how brutal kids are on each other. It's horrible.
Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. So how does one discern when we've reached our own limitations, when our daughter is that lonely girl in that dark bedroom that just absolutely will not come out? She's despondent. She's showing all the symptoms of depression, perhaps even suicidal ideation. She's considering, how do we make that decision whether or not we need to bring in a Christian counselor to help navigate this thing? How should a parent decide that? And then what should they look like for a counselor? It needs to be Christian, certainly.
Patty, I think every parent knows right now, in this very moment, whether or not you're close with your son or daughter. I can say Megan's name, and I know my daughter, and I know whether or not we're close. I can say my son Zach's name, and I know intuitively in my heart whether or not we're close. God wired us that way. So you too, by the way, mom and dad, you know when things are off. And I'm going to add a few things, Patty, you know, kind of from that mental health side of things. But if they're moody, maybe persistently sad, you had mentioned that 57% of girls were persistently sad for 2 weeks or more. That's a big indicator. Do you see changes maybe in their sleeping or their eating habits? Loss of interest in activities, like they don't want to go outside on the swing or they don't want to play soccer or what have you. You can see it. They're locking themselves down. Is school performance being impacted? Are they worrying? Do they seem to be stressed or anxious? In younger kids, you're looking at things like headaches, maybe stomach problems, what have you. What about outbursts? Real concerning factors, if they're talking about and asking a lot of questions around death or talking about suicide, those are those red flags that start really popping up. And if they're talking about hurting themselves or wanting to kill other people or hurt other people, yeah, that better get your attention like right now, Patty. And here's the thing. When you begin to see these things, I try to remind parents, the earlier you make a move on this, the better. The earlier the detection and the intervention, the better the prognosis, the better the outcome.
Makes sense.
And so a lot of parents want to think, hey, listen, if we don't talk about it, if we ignore it, it's all going to go away. And I get that. There are times where you don't give power, for example, to some bad behavior. Often there's childhood things that they're trying to get attention on. But if this is persistently happening and you know something's up, let me tell you what, there's no shame in reaching out and asking someone for a little wisdom on this, insight. Hey, can you give me a little feedback, maybe a trusted friend? And I often encourage parents to look across contexts. You know, it's one thing if they're acting up at home, but are they seeing it happen at school? Are we seeing it happen, say, on the athletic field? And you better give full attention to it. Is that helpful? Is that making sense?
Super helpful. Very, very good. Very tangible symptoms that need to be observed and taken to great caution. You know, I tell you, Tim, there's a bad vibe sometimes around counseling. I know my mother needed counseling. She's an alcoholic. She refused to go because that's what weak people do. All right, that's back in the day. Do you feel like it's getting a better name? And two-pronged questions. What's the difference between Christian counseling and general counseling?
I think people are becoming more aware of mental health-related issues. There was a time, sure, when we were growing up, that if you were depressed, it was like, suck it up, buttercup. You can get over that. You know what I mean? Some people really have some biology-related issues that are fueling their depression, for example. They need somebody to see if their brain chemistry, for example, is off. If they've gone through a horrific trauma in their life and they just can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps, so to speak, they are in a pattern. As we understand now neuroscience and neurobiology, brain science, we know that the brain, you can develop what's called rutting, and you can get yourself into patterns that have got to be overcome. The good news is the power of relationships we're learning to can have the same effect on the brain as good medicine. And so there's a lot of wonderful advances that are taking place, Patty. And so I think with that, I think people have become much more receptive. I saw a piece way back that said today's generations are like 9 times more likely to seek out mental health services. And people since the pandemic have really begun to reach out. I mean, you're trying to get into a counseling practice. It's like packed. You can't get in. I mean, it's just lined up, you know, trying again to get help. Here's where, and I'll transition to the Christian piece of it. For me, and you know that I believe our hope in this life is directly related to our relationship with God in Christ. That ultimately, while counseling and psychology, good evidence-based practices can be helpful and they can lead to change in a person's life. Frank Minrith years ago was a Christian psychiatrist. He's gone now. But Frank said, Tim, you know, I prescribe medication, but let me say something. Medication can help, but it can't give you hope. He said, hope comes from Jesus. And I thought, you know what? We can help people make some behavioral changes. We can get them on some medication, but the real hope comes from Christ. Those who are Christian counselors are anchored in their relationship with God and Christ. And they begin to bring this together in such a way that there's a prescriptive plan. Yes, we want them to be clinically excellent. They want to be on top of the latest clinical practices. If my daughter has an eating disorder, goodness, I want her seen by someone who understands eating disorders. And maybe not just generally speaking, they know the difference between bulimia and anorexia and what the treatment protocols are to help people with different disorders like that. But at the heart of it, they've got to know that their real hope, their real sense of being, and their real true connectedness comes in the one who loves them with an everlasting, steadfast love, as the psalmist said. And so I encourage people, make sure and do an interview. If you're seeking out a counselor, ask them questions like, What do they believe? What do they do in the counseling office? What's their specialization? Are they licensed professionals or not? And as you get answers to those, then what does it look like to help someone? You have every right up front, client rights, when they seek out services. Hopefully that's helpful.
Well, my friends, you've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. That was my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, wrapping up with Patty Garibay from the American Heritage Girls. I love their conversation, especially to hear his answers on some fundamental questions that all parents should be asking of themselves as they raise up their families and grow better relationships with their kids. I hope this was helpful to you as well. My friends, we love being a part of your lives. I'm your co-host, Zach Clinton, and for my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, we pray for God's richest blessing for you and your life.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Don't wait for perfect. Start with possible. See, I worked with a woman who didn't go to therapy because she felt she had to fix herself first. But perfectionism is often just fear in disguise. See, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 reminds us that he who began a good work in you will carry it through to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. Clinically, even a 1% daily shift can create momentum and rewire your brain. Perfection, that stifles growth, but progress begins to fuel it. You see, healing is rarely linear, but it's always possible if you just start moving. So your call to action today, begin asking, what's one small step toward healing that you've delayed? And I would dare you, today, take it. Because remember, you don't need perfection, you just need progress.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops. So you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.